Hello, you're listening to the Swiss Info Programme for July the 11th. 150 years ago, seven men made the first ascent of Switzerland's iconic Matterhorn Mountain. They made history, but only three of them made it back. An open-air play starring two descendants of the original mountain guides is being put on in Zermatt, the village at the foot of the mountain. And another direct descendant has been tracking down pieces of the history that surround the story.
If you take a neutral position and look at the facts, you can tell that there are two versions of the story.
In the 150th anniversary year, swissinfo.ch meets the direct descendants of the original mountain guides and finds out how the unsolved mystery has left its mark on their lives. It's a sunny afternoon in Bern, Switzerland, and I'm at the Matter Theatre in the old part of the city. Inside are a number of ordinary people from Zermatt, a picturesque village tucked away in the southwest of the country, famous for the Matterhorn Mountain which towers above its streets. But what makes these people remarkable is that they've chosen to take part in a high-profile, open-air production of the story of the Matterhorn's first ascent.
Josef Taugwalder. My name is Josef Taugwalder.
I find Josef at the rehearsal. He's playing Taugwalder Sr., the elder mountain guide who made that tricky first ascent of the mountain.
Das ist mein Urgroßvater.
That was his great-great-great-grandfather. But he's not a professional actor. Far from it. He and his son David, who will act in the production alongside him, work together at the family trust business in the village of Zermatt.
No, it's what a...
My son and I were a good fit for the roles. We're nearly the same age as they were. We're both Taugwalders. So the director seemed somehow to naturally end up with us. And of course it's our family history.
Weil es unsere Familiengeschichte ist.
When one of the climbers slipped and the rope snapped on the way back down after the first ascent of the Matterhorn, it was mainly Edward Whymper, the English climber, who controlled the narrative of events. Well-educated and a native English speaker, he did interviews and told the world his version of the tragedy. It left the Taugwalders, the mountain guides who were also there that day, under the heavy pressure of suspicion that some foul play may have occurred. Did the rope snap, or was it cut? Zermatt, the Grand Hotel Zermatterhof. Through its chilled, hushed entrance and following a winding corridor, I come to a sunny room at the back of the building, where David Taugwalder and his fiancée in the play, Barbara Salzgerber, played by Romain Muller, are busy rehearsing. In the script, he's asked her to marry him shortly before he sets off to climb the mountain, but she won't give him a reply.
Barbara, bitte.
Was ist?
Livia Ann Richard is the play director.
This scene is before the first ascent, early in the morning. Barbara Salzgeber in the play, she tells him, don't go, it's the 13th, this is bad luck, don't go. But he still goes, you know. And but he proposes before he goes. And she thinks this is the most stupid, this is really good timing, the most stupid moment ever. And so she doesn't answer. And that is the scene when he gets back to this, he wants an answer. And she's right now, she's far away from him because she tells him, now we have all this bad luck, we have four dead people, only because you just decided for yourself to go, even though I want you. Not telling you how this is going to turn out at the end.
Oh, no.
But, yeah. So, also machen wir das mal, sollen wir sagen.
The play has a cast of 40, five of whom are professional actors. The rest are people who live in Zermatt. Some have never set foot on stage before, and understandably, are treading cautiously.
I think the fear gets less and less. In the beginning, especially people from Zermatt said, oh, well, should I really expose myself that way because people know each other and all. And now they're really getting into their roles. I have professionals, I have people who stand on the stage for the first time in their lives. Also a 70-year-old who stands on stage for the first time in his life. I believe that finally people will just be able to dive down into this story without thinking, this is a bad actor, this is a good actor. That's my goal, that people don't think about the acting part, but really dive into the story and forget that they are looking, watching a theater play.
While another performer runs through their lines, I take David Taugwalder aside. He's playing the younger Swiss mountain guide, Peter Taugwalder Jr. I asked him how he got involved in the open-air play.
We have to read some passages of the text. After that, Livia and Richard say us that we can do that. The other thing is that we are directly from the two Taugwalders, and so it was cool for us.
And did they approach you specifically and say, because you are direct descendants, we'd really like you to be involved? Or did they just say, if you're good enough, you can be?
We read that and they say it's okay. We knew that there are more people here in Zermatt who are from the same family, from the Taugwalders. But at this moment, we were the two who have the interest for doing that. And we know the history. We spoke often in the family about that. There were stories our father tells us. Also in school, we spoke about it. As a young guy, I knew the history, but not in detail.
And like many people in the village, he has his own idea of what really happened.
There were different theories. First was that the rope broke naturally. Then another was the history from Wimper, who said that Peter Taugwalder's father cut her up on the descent. We think that Wimper wanted to be the first on the Matterhorn alone, and so he cut her up on the ascent.
David Taugwalder's fiancée in the play is performed by 20-year-old Romaine Müller. She's actually David's second cousin, which may give you an idea of just how connected everyone in Zermatt is and how much the story of the Matterhorn is also their own personal story.
I think it's important to me that the whole play is about it. In the whole play, we try to say people what really happened. Well, even if we still don't know really, but to like protect the Taugwalders a bit about all the rumors that went around. I think it's good that in the play we communicate this, but me personally, I wouldn't like to talk a lot about the truth. It's because when I'm not 100% sure about something, we don't know, because we don't know the story exactly how it was.
For something that happened 150 years ago, there's still a lot of emotion around the events. A few months after I met David Taugwalder in the rehearsals, I travelled again to Zermatt, this time to see the story of their ancestors played out on an open-air stage at the Riffelberg, 2,600 metres above sea level. As the large cast warmed up their vocal cords close to the stage, on the grass, with the Matterhorn in the background, a huge crowd had gathered, ready to watch the premiere. The first ascent of the Matterhorn has such a significance in Switzerland's history that a member of the Swiss cabinet and other high-ranking politicians were there to watch. And as the sun started to go down behind the mountain, it began.
Today we are in the year 1865. The Earth is populated by small creatures living for a short time and calling themselves human beings. These human beings now want to conquer the million-year-old mountain. The mountain objects.
The tale of the seven men who went up the mountain and the three who came back down played out in front of us, the Matterhorn, ever present. The play shifts between different languages throughout. Some speak the local dialect of Swiss German, some talk High German, some French, and some English.
200 or 400 feet below the summit, and they cannot find a safe place. Croc turns to him towards the rock, places his feet, turns around again in order to continue descending. At this moment, Hedda slips and crashes into Croc's back with his full force. Croc loses his balance, and they both fall into the void, pulling Hudson with them, and then Lord Douglas as well. Then the too thin rope between Lord Douglas and the old Taugwalder breaks. That's too thin a sign raised. From this moment on, the four are lost.
It's something the play's director, Richard, believes mirrors the way the group would have communicated at the time.
In the piece, it's organic that people speak that way. It's just the fact that people had to speak with each other in their language, actually. The English people would speak German with the Aborigines, as they told them. The people from Wallis, they were analphabetics, they couldn't speak well. So they had a very, very simple English. So I didn't have to change anything. It was that way. So I could just write that down as I imagined that people talked to each other.
The story of what exactly happened on that mountain is clearly still not completely understood by the family of the guides who took part in the climb. And even today, the mystery remains unsolved. Josef Taugwalder's cousin, another direct descendant of the Taugwalder mountain guides who survived that famous first ascent, still feels the impact of events 150 years ago.
My name is Matthias Taugwalder. If the rope on the Matterhorn didn't break, I wouldn't exist.
He's been trying to piece together his own version of what happened.
My great-great-grandfather Peter Taugwalder, son, wouldn't have the chance to marry his wife and have kids. And I always ask myself if everything really happened that way on the Matterhorn on the first ascent. And this kind of personal journey was also the reason for me to start my research about 1 year ago.
It's a journey that's taken him to meet descendants of the other members of the original climbing party, and it's led him to dig out letters, an account of the incident on the mountain by the priest in Zermatt at the time, and even immigration documents from when one of the Taugwalder sons moved to the US. He's taken us to a dusty cabin that belonged to his great-great-grandfather. Above the village of Zermatt, it's been left almost untouched for years.
The public only knows Wimper's version of the story, which is kind of the official version of the first ascent of the Matterhorn. And I ask myself if really my ancestors didn't have the chance to tell their story. As it turned out, Peter's son, who was living here in this house in his late days, did write a letter about his version of the story. And it's very likely that he wrote it here on this table.
The letter lives in the archives of the British Alpine Club.
He explains kind of the Taugwalder view of the situation. And also, since Peter's son hasn't been part of the inquiry process, it's the only document where he explains his version.
He believes that looking more closely into the remaining artefacts surrounding the climb and its aftermath could bring about a change of opinion on what really happened. There's a strong sense of a man wronged about Matthias Taugwalder. The tainted legacy of the climb is clearly still a part of his life. The letter written by Taugwalder Jr., for example, is key to understanding events more, he says.
This letter of Peter Taugwalder's son is one example how on the surface this topic is covered by the media. Even if it's possible for journalists to get access to historic archives, most of them just take the official version of Edward Wimper and write their books on secondary sources. So no one really tried so far to go back to the original documents. So the original wording of that letter was never published before.
The story of the Taugwalders and how a snapped rope changed their family forever. We have lots of great stories about the Matterhorn, the mountain guides and the play on our website right now, including a special long read story. Head over to swissinfo.ch to see more. Thanks this week to Carlo Pisani and John Halprin for their contributions, and to our technician, Jakob Stoller. I'm Jo Fay, and you've been listening to the Swiss Info programme.